This is Engineer Eric, and you're listening to part two of the January 5th Jimmy Doan Show.
Jimmy Doan Show.
Jimmy Doan Show. We're back.
We're back.
Back part two. I guess this is part two. This is good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What's this?
Pot de.
What's this music? Ripping off. What's this music?
This is me and Mr. Rhodes.
It's the Jimmy Doan Band.
That's it. That's right.
Good stuff. From me and Jack.
Good stuff. Well, I'll tell you what we want to do. We want to talk a little bit about Hugo. We have a Hugo update.
Hugo.
We always love Hugo.
Hugo.
Ale, ale.
Charlie.
Yeah! Hugo, I am going to take over the world and kill you. And you are going to like it.
Charlie.
We love Hugo, don't
He's taking over.
He's taking over.
Had a little setback.
What happened, Jimmy?
We did notice that he cleverly knocked three zeros off their money.
Yeah, that was cool.
They have the strong Bolivar now.
As opposed to
the previous weak Bolivar. Of course, we're having the same thing in this country, the weak dollar, I think, compared to the euros.
And that's what he's going to call the strong Bolivar. I mean, a name rich with irony.
Well, you know, what's happened is the black market. Apparently he's tried to fix the exchange rate or whatever it is, but the black market is telling him that it's still worth about half. The market will decide. Well, the point is that what he did was he took three zeros off. It's where the exchange rate was like, you know, 1,000 to 1. Now it's 1 to 1 or whatever it is. It was 5,000 to 1, and now it's 5 to 1.
That was the easiest thing to do because all they had to do is take a Sharpie and just mark off on every bill. And they didn't have to print new bills.
That's been done before. But what's so funny about it?
It's too expensive.
Who can afford those?
No, he's got plenty of workforce. You know.
Well, the
slaves.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting because he also reshuffled, quote unquote, his cabinet.
Yeah.
I want you to see my little friend here. Right. We're going to reshuffle the cabinet.
You know what happened to him? Yeah, that's right. When you reshuffle, someone ends up with aces and eights.
That's right. Well, so the
dead man's head.
So anyway, he said, I forget exactly what it was.
Cue the shotguns again. Aces and eights.
Well, actually, that would be like more like a.
That's all.
Anyway, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez announced a major cabinet reshuffle on Thursday after a poll defeat last month wrecked his hopes of winning new powers to push ahead with his declared. Socialist revolution.
Wasn't it? No term limits was one of the.
Yeah, that's right. Chavez named a soft spoken replacement for his combative vice president, Jorge Rodriguez, and he said he was making 12 other cabinet changes.
He's going to make some cabinet change.
Here's the story. An apparently humbled Chavez has dropped his grandiose revolutionary speeches and has instead promised to tackle issues like crime and garbage collection that more directly affect his grassroots supporters. In a telephone call to state television, Chavez said his new vice president is Ramon Carrizales,
a
former housing minister, and he did not give details on the other 12 cabinet changes because, of course, they can't find them.
Ramon and Jorge.
So anyway, the point is that he goes through this, you know, New Year's Eve, he declared that a pardon is expected to free from jail hundreds of people who took part in a coup that kicked him out in 2002.
Show his humanitarianism.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that was really just for target practice, I think, for the most part.
He's going to let him out the back.
That's
and,
right. Ready, go! Right.
Anyway, the point is that... that his slogan throughout last year was socialism or death, which
that is not strong,
you know, a little strong, and, with heavy emphasis on the death.
Right.
And did you hear the slogan for the new currency?
No.
It was a strong economy, a strong Bolivar, a strong arm dictator. Oh no, wait, a strong country is the last one. A strong country.
Well, but I love this. Here's the last sentence. The last paragraph,
As always.
No, the last two paragraphs of this very short, one sentence each. His plan was defeated partly because of growing dissatisfaction among supporters with corruption, insecurity, and even shortages of products like milk.
In the oil-rich nation.
Right. I mean, corruption. A shortage of milk? Give me a break.
I think that, EJ wrote it. And
the cows are holding
up. Yeah, he goes, well, maybe what happened is that the government provided cows for everybody. They just provided bulls.
They forgot.
Yeah.
They forgot. Well, or
it's
else they
white,
were,
but...
or maybe in the process they were providing beef for everybody and forgot that where it comes from.
Right.
So
right.
They shot all the cows. Okay. In the wake of the poll, Chavez said Venezuelans were not yet mature enough for socialism. He
sounds
may still
like
bring
out of me.
Silly people.
What the hell did they know?
He may still bring
some more popular changes he proposed as part of the constitutional overhaul, such as Social Security benefits for workers and the informal sector.
Workers in the informal sector.
Yeah. Social Security benefits for the informal sector.
Informal sector?
I don't know.
Well,
but
if you're not wearing black tie, it's definitely informal.
Right. Especially this time of year.
What about business casual?
Business casual.
I don't know, but I love this. He says we're not yet mature enough for socialism, and of course he wants to educate the people.
Educate.
That's right.
We have fears of educating you.
That's right.
Every show you have to educate.
Pol Pot did that in Cambodia, you know, with the world education. I mean, don't laugh. That is what's going
to
happen here.
Little Red Book. That's all you need to know. Little Red Book. Look it up. Google that.
That's right.
Well, and my favorite part about the whole story is he renamed the country.
He
renamed the country. It's now Hugo Berg.
I'm sorry.
It's Otisburg. No. It's the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela now.
Really?
Yeah. No.
No, you're kidding.
I didn't see that.
I saw that.
Did you snoop that?
And here's the other one. Now, he's still in the middle of two time zones, right?
No, the BVR.
No. Remember now, he changed
what
it. We talked about this. This is one of the funniest things in the world.
Yeah.
They crossed two time zones.
Right.
But so he decided to cut the baby in half.
Right.
And now they're half an hour off.
Right. Yeah,
everybody else.
We've talked about that before.
No, it's hysterical. I mean, you talk about a solution that is King's, you know, King Solomon, you know, he said, well, we'll cut the baby in half. And of course, one of the ladies said, okay, go ahead. He knew who the mother was. Not Hugo. He cut the baby in half.
Cut first, ask questions
That's
later.
It. Boom, done. I mean, that is.
Hugo.
So anyway, that is.
Ale.
So we're waiting. I'm still, Jimmy is still on point here. He was a little disappointed that he didn't rename the currency the Hugo.
Right.
I missed on that. Jimmy had a prediction that the new currency would be called the Hugo, and I screwed up. Our time is on my side. Time is on my side.
All right.
So don't be surprised if I thought
that was Jack's prediction.
Oh yeah, that's right. It was. That's right. It was Jack's prediction. I'm sorry.
I was gonna let him go.
No. That's right.
He is the boss.
That's no.
His name's on the website.
No. You're paid.
No, nope, you are right. Yeah, I stand corrected. It was not my error.
No, it's all right.
It was not my error.
I stand corrected. That's my error has been corrected.
It was Jack's error.
It was Jack's error. I apologize for being
completely vindicated.
As always.
Taking one for the team.
As well you should, by God. That's right. All right, I'm done with that. Anything else on that one? No?
Nope.
Okay, I have a global warming update. This is from today's January 5th, 2008. This is a global warming update. Ferocious storm punishes Northern California. A fierce Pacific storm howled into the Northern California into Friday, bringing a treacherous mix of hurricane force winds, torrential rains for millions of residents,
and
blizzard conditions for many others. Forecasters promised punishing conditions for Southern California as well, raising the prospect of mudslides and heavy rain. The morning ferry across the bay up at the San Francisco area was docked as boats rocked like rubber ducks in a bath. Winds topped 65 miles an hour, and in fact, in some places, were over gusts of over 160 miles an hour. Extreme conditions, 200 miles east of San Francisco and the Sierra Nevada, where the National Weather Service warned of blizzard and whiteout conditions, and so forth. The Weather Service said upper elevations could get up to 10 feet of snow by the time the twin storms blow through the weekend's close. At some ski resorts, they actually closed the lifts because there was too much snow.
An inconvenient dumbass.
That's right. In Washington State, where December storms caused 6 deaths, meteorologists warned of more snow in the Cascade Mountains. Winds and unstable snow would make conditions treacherous. 8 fatalities have already been attributed to avalanches in the state this fall, making this the deadliest avalanche season in 3 decades. And forecasters were trying to figure out if they should issue another avalanche warning.
If it gets any warmer, this whole place is going to be...
That's the thing. I'm a little panic-stricken because
don't forget about the polar bears.
But I love this. I love this. Conditions are already challenging. Several major Bay Area roads, including Highway 101 and Interstate 580, were closed for much of the day by airborne construction materials. Airborne construction. I mean, can you imagine the bulldozer sailing across the highway?
Because it's not that the wind blows.
Hey, also for Kyle, you'll have to Google Tauntaun Star Wars.
That's right. You know Star Wars. They re-released it not that long ago.
Right. Well, you got to believe. I'm trying to think of it.
77 was the first one.
Yeah, the last one was like 93.
The last one would have been released
in his birth the day he was born.
Mm-hmm.
He just turned 14 in December.
Yeah.
So I mean, he's like still 13 in some places.
Tauntaun was in the third, wasn't it?
They were on the Hoth planet.
Empire Strikes Back.
The Hoth planet. Yeah.
It was cold.
It was cold.
Had to climb inside the Tauntaun.
Yeah, it doesn't smell too good.
Stink. They smelled bad.
Woo!
Yeah, I sold on my Tauntaun.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, I'm glad to see that the global warming is...
Heating on up.
Yeah. So if we have any more of that, we're dead.
Here's some sort of related weather news. Okay. Somebody sent in a clip
to
us.
Cue the weather music.
That showed where there are certain cities in the United States where firefighting is banned. If you're not part of the official firefighter.
Oh, really?
Wait a minute, let me get this straight. So, in other words, here it is. Your house is on fire.
Right.
Right. Flames are coming down.
The woods are burning all around, and you decide to get out your garden hose or whatever it is, or your water tank or something, and put it out, and they say.
Up against the wall.
They send in a SWAT team and say, no, you can't do that.
Watch your head on the way in the car.
It's close. What happened was somebody did just that. They moved into a super ritzy community, thought they were 5 fire departments there. Turns out there was 1 volunteer fire department.
Now, this was in California someplace,
yeah,
right?
Okay. La Humber Heights. So the guy decided, well, shoot, I know what I'll do. He went to, like, Massachusetts or someplace, and he bought an old
pumping truck.
Yeah, exactly, an old pumper truck.
Wow.
And he was
going
to donate it to the fire people. And they said, no, thank you. we don't want it. And so he said, fine. He parked it in his garage, and when everything caught blaze, he went out and helped. But of course, that's not
against the law.
Exactly, and it is.
What
do you think you're doing? Well, I'm putting out the fire.
That's not your job.
No, that's right. You sit here and wait. The fire department will be here in 5 or 10 minutes.
You're impeding our ability to not put out the fire.
That's exactly what they said. Well, we don't want to compete with another fire truck for position on a fire or something like that, you know. Like, as if you couldn't just move it when they get there, you know.
Yeah, he moved it over there. I don't think you have a problem moving it away.
No, exactly.
And, of course, it is all full of water, and it is splashing it all over the fire. And I'm sorry, there's a problem with that.
Well, yeah, exactly. What happened was he put out some car that was on fire. He helped him put out this car. And then afterwards, well, you know, all the fire people right there, all the fire people right there thanked him and everything. But then he got a letter from the city, which said, "Cease and desist.
Oops.
You shall not fight fire with water."
Oops.
And,
illegal firefighting, section 1411.
No, that's right. No, no, that's, I saw that.
B.
Yeah, no, that's
put down that hose.
And the, but tell you what he did was he formed a little group of people when they refused to, when he tried to give them the fire truck and they refused it. He formed a sort of fire watch group. And this group now has like
crew, I'm
50
sure.
people in it, and they've claimed they're going to keep on fighting fires if things go up in smoke. Basically, they're going to protect each other and their neighbors and whoever else. And they've said, we even got a defibrillator on board, and we'll use that if we see somebody dying of a heart attack. You know,
don't daze me, bro.
Exactly. But it's just more of the total control attitude. You know, these people, the city people think that, since they're the one that's charged with protecting the fire, they have to have absolute control.
Well, they're always, and of course, it's for the public safety. This is what's so ironic about this is that, well, our firefighters are trained in all this stuff, and since it's for the public safety, and just because you think you can put out a fire doesn't mean you can. And,
exactly.
You know, for all we know, you're going to fill up your pumper truck with gasoline.
Exactly.
Or whatever. I mean, you know, you crazy people, you crazy citizen people don't have a clue what you're doing.
We sprayed all the gas on the fire.
Get the hell out of the way.
Well, what was interesting, I thought, in the article was he said as soon as the fire trucks actually showed up, they got out of the way.
Yeah, well, he did. He handed over the hose to the fire guy. And like I said, the people on the scene congratulated him. It was obviously, it worked, and it was a good idea, but...
Ah, that's not reason enough.
Not enough.
Sorry, that's just... I'm sorry, it works, and it's a good idea. Nah, you know, he...
Still could be against the law.
Yeah, still could be, and probably is, but and that's all that matters. You know, you didn't follow the file procedure, that's right. I mean, that tells you so much about... We have a lot of that going on here in this town, too, so that's good to know. Freedom goes away.
Yep,
anything
yep.
next?
Yeah, I got something else here.
Okay.
I want to talk a little bit about DUIs, because some more people are getting them. I don't know if you know this, but obviously the Hollywood cops out there...
Driving under the influence.
...have got a proclamation from above, which says, stop even the stars, doesn't matter who it is, bust their butts. Rebecca De Mornay just got stopped.
No, no!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, can I pay her bail?
Risky business?
Risky business.
That's
oh,
right,
she
man.
Should be a hooker.
She should
she
have said...
She was a hooker.
I wasn't the U-boat commander, it was him.
Rebecca De Mornay.
And also...
Misha Barton.
Yeah.
She was hot.
And also, you may recall, not you, Kyle, but most people may recall Jim Leyritz. Anybody? Jim Leyritz?
Who? Anybody? Anybody?
His name. He was the World Series hero back in...
86.
Was that what it was?
I think it was 86, yeah.
Baseball player.
Baseball player. Lives down in Fort Lauderdale. Just recently.
Never heard of him.
Got in an accident. And killed somebody, or at least a death resulted from the accident.
Oh, so he DUI. So.
Well, they forcefully drew his blood.
Yeah, he said he wasn't going to take the test or anything. And they of course here. Was that here in Florida?
Yeah, he was.
Okay, so they are allowed to hold you down and take your blood
if somebody dies at the scene.
Okay. I didn't realize. Okay.
Right. If somebody dies as a result, not even at the scene, but as a result of the accident,
all right.
Then they can take your blood forcefully.
Okay.
So they did. And so the results are still pending on this because it takes a little while for the blood draw analysis to come out. But the bottom line is if he comes back with anything in his system, they're going to throw the book at this guy.
Right.
And he's going to prison for like a decade.
Okay.
Okay. So here's what I want everybody to think about for a minute. I'm going to compare and contrast three of your recent sports heroes. Okay. And I'm going to tell you what the current state of the law is. And then I'm going to tell you what I think it should be. Okay. We got O.J. Simpson. Okay. Sports hero. What did he do? He, of course, hacked up Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown. And if there was any prosecutor besides Marcia Clark, Jeffrey Fleck had been prosecuting this case, O.J. would still be behind bars or dead, whichever Mr. Fleck decided.
Yeah.
And so it's irrelevant that they lost the case against him.
If the glove don't fit, you must quit.
Yeah. So O.J. should have been convicted, but the point is that he tried to do something bad, and there was bad results. He had intent. And there were victims, okay? And I got no problem with them prosecuting him.
You mean OJ's guilty?
That's true. Now, then you've got this guy, Jim Leyritz, who was in an accident and somebody died. That is to say, there's no intent, no criminal intent, but yet there's a victim involved. What should be the result in society? Well, as we just said, what's going to happen is he's going to go to prison for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But what should happen is he just should be subject to civil liability. That is to say, if the family can prove that he was negligent or whatever in such a way so that the death was sort of his fault, then they should be able to sue him and recover some money. But they shouldn't be able to throw him in jail if he didn't have any malicious intent towards this person, in my opinion.
And they're saying they are going to put him in jail.
Oh, they definitely will.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now. I mean, there's
why doesn't he needs a better lawyer?
No, it doesn't matter.
But Johnny's dead.
It just doesn't matter. They find alcohol, something in your system, and there's a death.
Johnny's dead.
That's the problem.
You're going to prison.
That's right.
Now, here's the third thing. And do we really want to live in a society where we're putting our heroes into prison for accidents? I mean, I personally don't. I don't think that's a good idea.
How about anybody in prison for accidents?
Right. Well, but especially, I mean, here's somebody you can look at and look up to, and he's successful, and he's made it. He lived the American dream. He played ball for a living.
Now, but
and the third one is
DUI comes into play. So, did he make a bad judgment that led to the death?
To me, it doesn't matter. To me, if you make a bad call and
I don't know. I don't know because it gets back to the the personal, the civil liberties and the. In an email recently, I said, it gets down to our freaking bed. Your bed in your bedroom is going to be the last frontier. It's the last place you can smoke a cigarette. Last place you can do illegal drugs. Last place you can do...
You can't do those things.
Illegal sex acts.
If they see you through the window, they come through the window, and they take you out through the window.
Not only that, in some apartment complexes, you can't do it either because of the ventilation system, so they have passed laws. You can't have a cigarette or anything like that.
Yeah, well, they just did... Well, I'll tell you, I'll get to the California in a minute here, but let me finish my comparison.
I want to do that.
The third person is Barry Bonds, okay?
Right.
Sports hero again. And here's a guy with no intent, no criminal intent, and no victims. And they're going to send him to prison also, okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Well, of course, the fourth one we talked about extensively is Michael Vick.
Who are these freaking judges that are doing this?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's
all of them.
It's the system.
It's the system.
The fact is they pass laws which criminalize behavior when there's ever any victim or intent or that now without intent without a victim.
Right.
I mean, it's gotten to the point of where you don't have
it's
to try
control.
To hurt anybody and nobody gets hurt and you're still subject to prison liability even if you're an American hero.
I agree. I think they should be taking
that is stunning.
They
that
should
is
be able
stunning.
To take the drugs, but the
and not only that, of course, I saw where just recently, I forget which one it was, but a fellow got off in state court, and for exactly the same offense, they hauled him into federal court.
Well, and we talked about that on the last show,
right?
Double jeopardy,
and of course,
hoping that Vic's case will bring that to light. Somebody may try to challenge that. I would if I was Vic's lawyer, because you got the money. And,
So is someone out there pointing out these facts?
We are.
Counselor?
We are.
Yeah, well, of course.
And, of course, we had, almost 1,000 downloads.
I know you had a lot more than that.
No, I know, but I'm talking about admitted.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about people
traceable.
Actually. Yeah, that's right. Traceable. We know who you are, but the rest of you, we have no clue. I noticed that we get an awful lot from the anonymizer.
Oh, yeah.
They all come from the same IP, anonymous.org or whatever the hell it is. What the hell is that? Somebody didn't want to be associated with the Jimmy Jones show.
So you're talking about the smoking laws. California, one of the new laws just came out. All new laws start January 1st. Not all of them, but a lot of them did. Kicked in. And one of them, California, just passed a ban on smoking in your car if there's a minor in the car.
I saw this. I saw it. Unbelievable.
So now you get a ticket. You're driving down the road. You got a cigarette in your hand. And they can pull you over if they think the other passenger's a minor. And then, of course, slap you with a ticket.
No, wait, somebody's 17 years old?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What if the 17-year-old is smoking?
Then he gets two tickets.
Driving while smoking. It's a DWS.
You get DWS and contributing to your own delinquency.
Can you imagine? If you're 17 and driving and smoking a cigarette, I guess it's just automatic.
Absolutely.
You're a minor in the car.
Yeah.
And smoking a cigarette. Boom, done.
Boom.
Well, I know. Well, of course, the smoke Nazis are out when in France.
Oh, I saw this too.
Really?
Outlawed smoking?
Outlawed in bars.
Really?
Yes.
France.
I mean, this is the
this is like the smoking bon capital.
No, this is the land of the what's the name of the blue cigarette over there? That's called
Giton.
Huh?
Giton.
Giton, right. The land of Giton, which is the if you ever had a Giton, it's a trip.
It's a black stick.
It's not black.
Yeah,
but
it's a black cigarette.
No. But I mean, it's made out of some tobacco that is
French. It's strong.
It is like sandpaper on your throat. It's unbelievable. And let me tell you,
it would make the tobacco execs over here blush.
Oh my God! They would run screaming from. Not only that, the beauty of it is, if you've ever seen a French movie, is that the ash stays on it forever. it hangs on your lower lip. And then the cigarette can still be like an inch long, and the ash is 2 inches. That's right. My friend.
It wasn't 10 years ago. Jack and I were over in France.
Giton. What are they, Giton?
G-I-T-A-N-E-S.
Yeah.
Giton.
And there was so much smoke. We were in the upper floor of some bar, and there was so much smoke in the bar, you could see it billowing up the spiral staircase.
Yeah.
Like it was a chimney.
Yeah.
And it may make you sick to your stomach.
Well, so not like, that for you, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, my
But not
God.
For Jimmy. But anyway, the point is that if they're outlawing it in France, I mean, that's it. We're done. Now we have to move to China. I think
I can't. And you know, I'm telling you, there are going to be riots. The French are not afraid to riot, and especially
that's one good
about
thing about
smoking in a freaking bar.
Yeah.
You know, but there's got to be some loophole in that, like they have it here in the States. You can have that outside area. You know, if you have a back patio, I believe you can have the smoking in the back patio.
I think so. I think you can too.
Outside. We froze our butts off trying to be outside.
I mean, we were on like the third floor. We opened the window and just. You know, I hung out there and counselor held my legs. You know, we went back and forth just to get a fresh breath. So, yeah, it was, man, ooh.
And another law that just came out, I'll point out real quick, is in Arizona, if you're an employer now and you get caught employing an illegal alien, they yank your license. So.
What do you mean, yank your license?
Well, you gotta have a license to do damn anything these days.
Right, I know
business
that.
License.
And so here you are. Let me get this straight.
You're out of business.
Let me get this straight. You got, let's say you've got a factory where you're making, I don't know, shirts or something.
Right.
And there's, 500 people working there.
Me llamo Jose.
And they go in there and they find, you know, a couple of illegals and then they put a padlock on your door.
That's what I'm guessing.
Oh my God.
Shut you down. So what's going to happen is, of course, exodus of illegal aliens.
Already has happened. Already started, they said.
Okay. And employers.
They're going to the next state.
No. You know what they're doing? They're actually moving right across the border into Mexico.
Oh, back into Mexico?
Well, if I was a manufacturer, that's where I'd go.
Yeah. That's what they're doing. Real estate boom right on the other side of the border in Mexico where a lot of those people are moving.
The Mexicans or the factory workers?
The factories. Factory the American factories are moving over to the Mexican side.
Oh, I missed
There's
that.
An invasion.
Oh, I misspoke.
A reverse invasion.
That's not good. That's not, Jack does not
hey,
think that's
that's
good.
What you want. That's what you get.
I thought you were saying that the workers, because I know the workers were fleeing the state.
Right. No, they were. What's happening is that since they can't get the illegal Mexicans to work anymore, they can move their whole factory over to the Mexican side, and then I guess I don't know. Maybe
they're legal.
Then the illegal Mexicans become legal when they come back across the Rio Grande.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Okay, what's next?
I got a couple of quick things if
you
want.
Okay. Yeah.
Everybody probably knows since the last show, Bhutto was blasted.
Bennett
yes, was she?
Prime Minister.
Now, of course, the question is, who done it?
A terrorist.
Yeah, a terrorist, right.
Well, I got a new terrorist cell phone for you.
Let's walk through it.
This is great. Here you go. In case you want a new ringtone for your cell phone.
Hello, infidel. Infidel, phone ringing. Oh, yes, infidel. Pick up the phone. It could be a lark calling. Oh, pick up the phone before it blows up. Pick up the phone. Oh, Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar. Pick up the phone.
That goes off in the middle of the 747.
Yeah, right. No, you can imagine. Put that on your ringtone and get on the airplane.
Can you please turn your cell phone on for me?
The plane immediately turns around and you got a long night of explanation.
Explanation? Hell, are you kidding?
You got a long waterboard.
I'm telling you. plane diverted to Gitmo.
Exactly.
You got to put a direct link to that on there. That's prison. Just awesome.
That's a great. No, that's a perfect ringtone.
I think Stitch sent that to
me. Oh, my God. You know, let me tell you about those guys out there. I can't. Do they actually do anything for a living? I mean,
they're in charge of our defense.
They're in charge of our defense. Thank you, Dot Mill. You know, whatever.
They do a podcast.
That's No, they do it all the time.
That's their living.
Which reminds me, we didn't hear anything from David this last time.
Like us.
They last name. He changed his wedding name back, by the way.
Teotwaki?
Yeah, Teotwaki said he went back to David. So I don't know.
I've been bantering back and forth with him about a couple of things. Hey, he said Golden Compass was a great movie.
It sucked. Give it a C. Imagination, but it like ends in the middle.
Really?
Literally, it ends in the middle.
Just tell everybody how it ends right now.
I'll give you the synopsis. Here's
finish too soon? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, let me tell you what happened.
This is the atheist movie, right?
It's actually, I thought it was going to be cool because it's a government suppression movie. There's the ministry and there are the registry or whatever they're called. Right. And then.
Well, like Brazil?
Almost, yeah. They've got control over everything. They're trying to get control over everything. And the heroes are fighting against this.
Okay.
And so what you see is the first hero comes onto the scene right in the opening credits here. James
Bond. Vendetta.
Huh?
V for Vendetta. Did you see that one?
Did not see that, but yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
James Bond comes onto the scene, the guy who just played James Bond. And you think he's the main character for the first 15 minutes because he's in the first 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you never see him again.
Disappeared.
It ends in the middle. Well, see, that's kind of reality. Like, as soon as there's an uprising, like in Venezuela, it ends in the middle.
Did you see that the Get Smart movie's coming out?
Yes.
Steve Carell.
Yeah.
Right. Steve Carell, whatever.
He's the only guy who can pull that off.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, so Golden Compass.
I don't know who could play Agent 99.
El Sucko.
Steve Carroll can probably pull it off. He's about the only guy I can think of.
But who's going to play Agent 99?
Oh, 99.
I mean, she was a total flop.
You can look it up. Well, Tracy.
Yeah, all right, Tracy. Yeah.
Jenna Jameson.
So, all right, let me get back to Budo here.
All right, go ahead.
Budo was blowed up.
Budo was blowed up.
And nobody knows exactly how she died. It's not relevant. The reason I bring it up is
let our listeners go. This is an educational radio station here.
She's the opposition party.
The first 15 hours, they thought she was shot. That someone screamed in, you know, suicide bomber screamed in, apparently took a couple shots, you know, and then just seconds later,
blowed up.
Detonated.
And then bumped her head on the ceiling.
And apparently, at first they thought she was killed by the bullets. Then they said that the medical examiner said she was killed actually by the shrapnel.
So, and then somebody...
Well, no, they said she was killed by the blast, hit her head into the
sunroof.
Side of the sunroof handle.
Of course, then they buried her about 20 minutes later, and then they dug her up again
The only suspicious thing is they buried her in 20 minutes, like you said.
Right.
I mean...
But then they dug her up.
Right. And I guess they're still doing the autopsy or what?
Yeah.
I haven't heard the news, but it's interesting that they. I mean, I would think. I mean, they'd keep her around like James Brown. You know, still hadn't been buried,
like Trigger.
Exactly. You know, I mean, they'd want her to tour and stuff.
Yeah.
Tour.
The Budo tour. Get your tickets now. VIP passes available.
It's called Weekend with Budo. There's a new movie. There's a new movie, and we're having a weekend with Budo.
It's probably all blasphemy now. We're in big trouble now. But so the only reason I bring this all up is because people. Well, let me just tell you, as Jack Rhodes pointed out, she was the leader of the opposition party to the current leader, who is General Musharraf,
right?
Who is in charge of Pakistan right now.
Anne Hathaway is Agent 99 in the movie, by the way.
Jane Hathaway.
Whoa, a little elderly. I thought she was dead.
She's good. She was in the recent Meryl Streep movie, Devil Wears Prada. She was a little girl in that, right?
And God, you definitely are married. See that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Devil Wears Prada.
So, all right,
becoming Jane, yeah. I guess.
So, all right, here's the thing, though. The only reason I bring this up is because people were worried that potentially Pakistan, which is a nuclear country, might deteriorate into some sort of, well, ditching off their nukes to Al-Qaeda or bin Laden or whoever wants them, or some sort of militaristic deterioration. Turns out, it looks like that's not the case. There have been some studies which provide, quote, a measure of assurance that unquote, that the military is cohesive and that Musharraf's in control. Did we just detect something?
That's why this show is delayed. If we were live, we wouldn't be live.
1-866-9.
Shut up. Hey, we didn't get any calls today.
Not yet. Well,
okay.
You got the phone thing. We probably screwed it up when we checked it.
Yeah.
No, we checked. It's working.
So anyway, so I don't think everything to worry about in Pakistan. I mean, Musharraf's got control. He's the guy with the power. I mean, unless we take him out.
Okay, but let's go through some of the conspiracy theorists here can abound, because here's a couple of things that happen. Number one, he gave up martial law or whatever it was, a couple of weeks ago. Suddenly, kaboom, another emergency, and he took power back, essentially. The elections were supposed to happen, in a couple of weeks. No, we're going to put those off for a while. Yeah, not anymore.
A couple months,
right.
Right,
exactly. Right. I mean, it smacks of something.
It does.
I mean, it stinks.
He's a military dictator who took over in a military coup. I mean, you know.
Would you be totally shocked and amazed that somehow the opposition lady, who had just showed up, by the way, she'd been out of the country, in exile or whatever, 8 years, she shows up and suddenly she's dead. And you're thinking,
within like a month.
Yeah, yeah.
2 months.
How could that happen? Boy, and he must just be crying,
in his beer.
In his beer, right, exactly. So, I mean, it's surprising how this works out for him. And what against me is they also, along the same lines, it reminds me so much of when Monica was doing Bill and everybody started to come out for the testimony. The first thing Bill did was to send a bunch of missiles up to bomb of some camels.
Right.
The same kind of thing here in that, we're finding out that about $8 billion that the United States has sent over there, I don't know where it is. I don't know what happened. It disappeared. I don't know. Somebody got it. We're talking about some serious cash here. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I saw that headline on page 3 once, that 8 billion of our bucks had disappeared someplace.
Billion with a B.
That's right. And there's no...
Not British billion.
Yeah, no, this is... Yeah. So you wonder if there isn't some... There's like 9 reasons why it's a good thing for the establishment that she blowed up.
Yeah.
And... It wouldn't be out of reach that there could be, somebody behind that. It might be somebody we know.
Not a shock.
Somebody we know.
So it wouldn't shock me too much on that one. Okay.
Scott sent in, I wanted to mention this because we brought up his name, sent in an article about topless women in the park.
Oh, I read the comments on that.
Did you?
Yeah, there were like 3,300 comments or something. This was the one where the topless girl was in the park. Public park, I think.
Right.
And people would come up to her and...
She would flirt with them.
She would flirt with them, right. And she's got, like, tits.
Well, right.
Yeah, I was going to say, just the fact that her top is off is flirting, right, with every guy that walks by.
Exactly. But it turns out as soon as you make a move, like, for example, show her yours... The cops descend out of the trees, swinging.
Oh, it's a sting operation.
It's a sting, yeah.
It's a total sting.
And a stingo.
And so, watch out. Because, pretty much all red-blooded guys would fall for this one.
What happened was apparently there were some firemen, off-duty firemen or something, that whipped his out.
Right.
And as soon as
she said, show me yours.
Show me yours, right. And he did.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, they swooped in.
Because it's legal for her to show hers up top, but not for him to show his.
Down there, right. So the question was this entrapment?
Right.
And virtually all of the comments were just, they were livid. I mean, they said, this is way beyond anything that you can...
Well, no, it's not. It's just barely beyond. I can tell you, yeah, I can tell you that they can do almost anything. And entrapment, let me tell you this, of the 5,000 people I've defended, I've used entrapment defense exactly 0 times.
Really?
0 times. And on cases, there was at least dozens where I thought it should have been entrapment. I mean,
and
where,
you didn't use it,
where
why?
The guy walks up to my client, the undercover cop walks up to my guy and says, can I get some crack or something? And my guy says, if you go over to there or something, you can get some. Boom, busted for conspiracy to sell crack.
No shit.
And so, I mean, it's like, well, shit, I didn't do anything. I just kind of pointed you in that direction. Well, you helped. You helped.
And you didn't use, yeah, and so the guy went to jail, your client went to jail?
Absolutely. Prison for that shit. And
I'm not sure I'd want you as a defense attorney.
It doesn't matter who, you can have Johnny Cochran all you want.
Johnny Cochran.
You know, when they got you on videotape or audio tape and you're pointing the direction or you go get the thing for them or whatever it is and they've asked you, you're done.
You're done.
Basically, it's very, very tight. They basically have to force you to do the crime before it's entrapped.
Well, they do that. Of course, they do a lot around here. It's interesting. I was watching carefully to find out where it was. They have locally here in Gainesville, they've got a police beat on the government channel, and they show the police out, or mostly arresting hookers and Johns. And I'm sitting there looking at that. I put that video on super slow to find out where it was because I was ready to go myself. but they really go out there. I mean, they send the cop ladies out there. I mean, just strutting their stuff all dressed up. I mean, you know, the fishnet nylons and the whole deal. And they go through the procedure. And boy, they showed on TV, this is what's going to happen to you. And I mean, these guys, big, huge, monster 220 pounders, solid muscle guys, swoop down and you're under guns drawn and everything, and this
they
is
got you,
and they got you, and this is, you know, I'd like to give you $20 for a BJ or something like that. And I mean you would think that this guy had
terrorist defense.
Oh, you'd think that he's loaded up with the C4 and a clock.
The clock.
No, I mean, but
and we're not talking about Flavor Flav.
No. So anyway, I thought to myself, you know, what a deal this is for somebody. You got to think if you're a sheriff here in locally, that this has got to be the easiest thing on the world to do. I mean, you know, the guy's not going to pull a gun and shoot you or anything like that. I mean, you know, here you are out doing your job.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's no threat.
Victimless crime.
Well, I mean, the point is that if somebody dials 911 and says there's a robber in my house, I would rather be out there arresting the Johns than going to somebody.
Or the hookers.
Or the hookers, right. They're not, you can maybe see they're can, not carrying anything.
Maybe we can work something out.
Well, they get in trouble. They nailed some people for doing that. Of course, there was some girl, I forget what it was. I forget whether they arrested the girl or the guy.
Escortwomen.com.
Yeah, that's right. Don't give you. Now, you know, is that going to be on your, if you dial up escort on your internet filter thing, is that going to come up?
Net Nanny?
Net Nanny?
It shows you pictures of red Ford cars.
Ah, yes, there you are. That I can believe. I love it. Would you like to search for Pinto? I love it. That's good.
One more thing real quick. The CFLs, which are compact fluorescent lights.
The incandescents are outlawed.
Incandescents.
Right. They're outlawed, right?
They're going to be outlawed by 2012, or
they're totally outlawed by 2014.
This is what we know as a normal bulb, you're saying.
Right. What we know as a normal bulb, bye-bye.
Is going to be outlawed. And
a complete ban in 2014.
Right.
And so,
6 years.
Look, this is another one of those things where a good idea is a bad law, because here you're going to mandate this for everybody. And what people don't know is things like, those things flicker a little bit, and if you're epileptic, you might just go into a seizure if they're all over your house.
Right.
And they say, oh, well, they'll be able to opt out. They'll be able to get permission to get the regular lights. And, of course, who's going to make the regular lights?
How much
if
is
they're
that
out?
Cost?
You know, just for epileptics.
$500.
Well,
right.
Exactly.
Well, let me tell you, Jimmy is storing them up. They're going to be like gold.
Probably.
No, I'm leaving some to my grandchildren. I'm telling you right now, this is, you know, I'm not leaving them a dime. You know
come
what I mean?
Come on down to Jimmy Dunn. We got bulbs, bulbs, bulbs. $9.95, bulbs, bulbs.
Look, Grandpa, I had a whole store, a whole box of bulbs.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Look, it comes down to this. To me, this is ridiculous. You have to get permission for everything these days. That ought to be the new U.S. motto. Permission for everything.
No, and that is true. I mean, literally, think about it. You have to have permission to cross the street.
To cross the street.
I mean, if the sign doesn't say walk and you go across the street any place, they can arrest you here. I mean, literally, you have to wait for the sign to say walk.
Everybody is totally okay with
you gotta
that.
You got to get a PFE, baby. Permission for everything.
Permission for everything.
PFE. I like that. PFE. I like that. Now, so let me dovetail on that before we finish up here. On that light on the CFE's business, there were some other complaints as well. Now, one of the things that I did notice from that article, there were some questions. How much money it's going to save? How much oil it's going to save? How much coal plants? You don't have to build coal plants anymore because the electricity will be saved. Right. The no more mercury in the air. Well, of course, the thing is they don't realize is that the mercury that's in those bulbs. I think we might have mentioned this. The mercury, there's a little bit of mercury in those bulbs. And somebody was saying, well, you can take, of course, you can have the hazmat people come by and remove the bulb when they burn out every 5 years and take it to an approved hazmat dump or whatever that is so that it doesn't pollute the environment. Turns out that the amount of mercury in them is about 1/100th of that in a thermometer, which we talked about. That was where they closed down the school because of a broken thermometer. I mean, you're talking about a bunch of pussies in this country. If you imagine closing down a school because of a broken thermometer, now they're talking about, seriously talking about, disposing correctly of these bulbs, which, by the way, it turns out somebody was saying that they didn't really start to save you all that much money until they've been on for 15 minutes. I mean, people are not going to be flicking them on or flicking them off is what I'm saying, apparently, but like you do with a regular bulb. Again, I don't know anything about that. It could be Snopes. You know, you might want to check it out.
Yeah, there was a Mythbuster episode for sure on that, and I forget. I believe it was, it mattered, but
okay, whatever. Let's assume that it doesn't. I forget that part. The deal is, though, that, as you said, it's the mandating.
Six times as much.
Well, again, they said that even with that, because you do the 5,000 hours instead of 100 instead of 760 or whatever it is, and it doesn't take much to do the math, that you actually do save money with the things. There's no question about it. You do save money. The deal is that the government doesn't trust the market people, the market,
right,
which is bigger, stronger, and faster and smarter than they are, to figure this out, that you will save $50 over the lifetime of this bulb over incandescent.
No, for our own good, they've got to make it mandatory.
I understand that. And this is a scary part. And of course, what I'm thinking is that, yes, you've made it mandatory. Jimmy will want to investigate and find out, and maybe we'll bring in another show, what the unintended consequences of this are. I know that there are going to be some. I know that there's going to be distortion in the marketplace because it's mandated. I know it's going to save money. I know that there won't be that many coal plants, that the electricity use may or may not go down, yada, yada. I know all the arguments for these things. I just know the way the market works, that there is an unintended consequence here that is going to ruin it one way or the other. I know this, and I just haven't figured it out yet, but I will.
I know for sure that some people do actually get headaches from working around those lights, even if you're not epileptic. I'm just saying that's a worst-case scenario. You go into an epileptic seizure.
Even if you drop on the floor.
Yeah, but I mean, some people, they can't work around fluorescent lights for the same reason. They literally get headaches.
Again, the market would figure that out.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's one of the unintended consequences I haven't heard them talk about.
Right. Again, one thinks, for instance, what would happen if the CFLs, if they'd been invented first, say Edison invented them instead of the tungsten filament, that flickering business would have been taken care of one way or the other. So, I mean, that I'm not worried about that from that standpoint. But I do know that when every time the government proposes a solution,
a one size fits all.
Well, again, actually, I got one more thing I do want to talk about.
Before we get off the bulb thing, I do have a Stitch comment.
Okay.
Basically, scientists have to contend with the issue that LED emits a narrow spectrum, i.e., concentrated, incoherent light, and therefore will burn out your rods or cones. And he didn't remember which one, over a period of time. So, not to mention that narrow spectrum light will make your interpretation of color a bit off.
It may turn out that the technology is that LEDs will replace these CFLs.
Right. Well, everybody said that.
Yeah, right. I mean, and I can tell you, it was funny. I fired up. I got here at the garage sale the other day one of these little book lights for nothing. You know what I mean? And it's got a regular incandescent little bulb in it that uses a couple of AA batteries. And I'm thinking, you know, how long is it going to be before you have an LED that's twice as bright as this thing that lasts 10 times as long?
Well, that one right there on your desk is an LED.
Which one?
This one right in front of your mic there.
This thing here.
No. That. The light.
The thing that blinds us every day?
Yeah, this.
Yes, that thing, yes.
That is not an LED.
Well, you had one up there.
That's a halogen.
He had that little
This is a fluorescent light.
Right.
I can't see. It wasn't.
Thanks for showing us that, because rods and cones
just burn out.
Just disappearing.
You had
this light? Yeah, that light.
You had one on your desk, Jimmy. That was
yes,
all
I did.
LED.
Yes, you're right. I did. It burned out.
Really?
The transformer burned out.
Oh, okay.
Not the light. No, the LEDs
the
were
bulb,
fine.
The bulb
no, the transformer blew out.
Jimmy's 50,000 hours old.
No. The wall wart or whatever it was on the floor blowed up or something.
Okay. I was gonna say because the bulb is like.
No, the bulbs are still good.
The bulbs
they're in the waste. The bulbs are out in the hazmat dump.
Right.
they're still burning.
Jimmy's kitchen garbage.
Right? That's right. No, wouldn't do that. Oh, no. I make regular trips to the hazmat dump.
Oh, no.
I've been finding some good stuff.
Well, yeah, because you're going there to look for stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry.
Going
out to the dump.
Didn't you
collect things?
Jimmy, we need to get you a hazmat suit
and a
truck.
You get that? Didn't I make that clear? No, I go to the dump three times a week.
Jimmy, you can get you a hazmat suit and a truck, and you can just drive around to people's houses and ask them for hazardous materials.
That's true.
Yeah, it's probably as illegal as putting out their fires.
It probably is. The last thing, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff I did want to talk about. You know, the Writers Guild, the thing out there, they're still on strike. And Jay Leno, they're going to crucify him because he's writing his own material.
Right.
And they want to say, no, you can't do that.
God damn him.
He's not a member of the Writers Guild.
No, I know. But, I mean, they said I don't understand their... This is what unions do.
And the other thing Leno, he's the hardest working man in show business
now.
Yeah,
he sleeps 4 hours a night or something.
Yeah, he literally but he still does stand up all over the country.
No, he does. He used to be a writer. I mean, he can write his own stuff. And they said, while Mr. Leno declared that he was able to write material for himself, the guild contends that he cannot. This is the writer's guild.
I know, but I'm just saying.
The guild. Boy, that's the right word, too.
But they just gilded him. The thing is that...
Geld. They gelded him. They would like to geld him.
But so, I thought that he was back in Letterman, back on the air.
Letterman's different. Because he has his own production company, he was able to sign an independent contract with the writers. And so there's no picket line in front of his place or the guy that's after
Craig
him.
Craig Ferguson.
He's
the best,
by the way. You've seen Letterman's beard and all, right?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, he's got full beard now.
Yeah.
He's like Grizzly Adams.
Yeah, he is.
Grizzly Adams.
Well, it's not quite that, but it's...
Skinny Grizzly Adams.
Like Kenny Rogers.
Like an anorexic Grizzly Adams.
Another thing I want to mention was military use of unmanned aircraft stores.
Of course, we predicted that back.
But, let me tell you what they're talking about here.
Always ahead of the curve.
Yeah. Predators, Global Hawks, Shadows, and Ravens. I didn't even know about two of these, but apparently they're up to four of them now. And there's hundreds of thousands of hours, but, how long is it before these things fly over Gainesville?
I want to see. What's going to happen is it won't be too long, and you'll look out your window, and you'll see, is that a bird? And there'll be, little helicopters taking off and landing, delivering stuff around town. Because why wouldn't you have little...
Yeah, they're delivering video of what you're doing in your house back at the station.
With one of those FLIR guns on it or whatever it is.
FLIR radar.
Or whatever. Or the infrared detector.
Yeah, they'll have everything.
But
there was some news show, and I can't remember if we talked about it or not. I don't think we did, but in Houston, there were some news choppers out there that were filming an unmanned vehicle that they were getting ready to start using for the roads.
Oh, yeah. And they
were all up in arms. The government was just
yeah, that was
ready
that
to
was
shoot
be
down the news
they
chopper.
What happened was it was for civilian use.
Right.
And the news people came out and said, and of course the people that were getting ready to use this Predator clone, whatever the heck it was, for civilian use, they said, no, it's not. And then they said, well, yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And I think what happened was that they tried to chase the news people off.
Right.
But I think that they finally relented and said, okay. And story went away. And again, it went away. You wait until the sky is flooded with these damn things and it's spying on every move you make.
Right.
It's not going to be long. Okay.
Are we getting into light notes yet?
Or we can. Yeah, we can. I was going to talk a little bit about
that. I wanted you to mention that one thing on the health
Trust
inspector.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. All right. We got one of Kyle's things that he sent in was about a little video that this guy
has. 8 minutes long.
Yeah. And
we'll put a link to it on our website.
Basically, here's an American trying to defend his property.
There's a guy in Indiana, quote farmer, unquote.
Right.
On his double wide mobile home on his 2.5 acres, whatever.
Had a rudimentary understanding of the Constitution, and what he knew about it was, what he thought he knew, was that, he owned property. And he thought
he didn't realize he was just renting
off the property. Exactly.
He had no trespassing signs all over the place.
Right. And he had a fair amount of property. I mean, it was at least an acre or something.
It was 2.5 acres, I think.
Okay, so the idea was he thought he could prevent your local government person from coming onto your property without a warrant.
Apparently what had happened is, what was interesting about this, number one, there's 1,000 comments on this, and they're all over the place. And it was interesting because some of the comments are obviously from Supreme Court justices.
Is this on YouTube or something?
Yeah, oh yeah. And then there's, interesting enough, there was this little girl, I don't know, 30 years old, whatever, this health inspectorette, whatever, and she was coming for health inspection. And she apparently had come the day before, and the guy told her to get off the property. So she came back the next day, and this is when the video started,
with
the sheriff. So the deal is that she showed him her ID, which said, you know, Tina W. or something like that. And he said, well, what's your last name? How can you come on? So he was telling her she couldn't come on the property to do this health inspection that she said she claimed she could do. And all the comments, interesting enough, she got into the comment mode. Her last name, I think, is Wolf or something. Anyway, she's there responding to a lot of these comments. And I think it was interesting because the comments were all over the place. Some of the comments said, this guy, you know, they stomped all over his rights. He should have been allowed to tell him to get off my private property, yada, yada. Other people said, no, you know, can't do that. The law says, and they cited Indiana law, Supreme Court law, Texas law, Canadian law, Zimbabwe law. I mean, it was on and on and on how they went through this whole thing. So the comments made for
Zimbabwe?
Zimbabwe. So, and Venezuela.
Right, Venezuela.
Don't forget the Hugo law. That's right. So
you
anyway, the video was this guy filming this girl as she walked all over his property, took pictures and so forth. And I understand that in the end, his property was condemned and sold at foreclosure or something. And he's like living under a bridge now or who knows what. Okay, right. So now go ahead.
Yeah, well, and so, yeah, and there's the end of the story. That's
okay.
That's what you're saying.
No.
But the idea, here's what you need to know. There's a whole group of people who have easements, which means access to your property, and they can just walk on at any time. All the people, like, for example, the electricity people, the gas people, the water people, they can just
walk. The meter readers.
Right. Anybody who has a public utility going to your
property. Firefighters.
All of them can just come right on. No warning, no warning. Doesn't mean matter. They just feel like coming onto your property. They can just come onto your property. You can tell them, get lost, and then they can come back with the sheriff, and if you don't let them, they can arrest you.
What if the hounds are loose?
Well, and that's a problem for them.
Yeah, but because one of the things we're talking about, they're talking specifically, for instance, also about mail delivery. But of course, if your mailbox is out on the street, I remember when I was living at the rat hole.
Right.
Of course, Tim.
Yeah, there was another rat hole.
Yep. This was not. No,
the rat hole was Buckingham.
No, the rat hole was the 6 acres that was fenced with Tiffany.
Right, right.
And
that's not the porn star. That's a dog.
That's a dog. And it was funny because the UPS man used to literally throw the boxes over the fence. He would come up and throw them because Tiffany was just like, you know,
right, terror.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, so go ahead. So, but what was the deal? The guy didn't actually own the property.
No, he owned it.
Oh, he did own it.
Yeah,
okay,
what I'm saying is that you don't own your property.
Right, right. So, in other words, so the health inspector lady, why did she want to go on his
property? Because she suspected. She'd seen from the road what looked like a health violation. And what she saw was, she thought she saw, and apparently it was true, he was digging a, quote, illegal septic tank.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, this is, I mean, again, public health, whatever. She was going to go take pictures of it. And
yeah, I mean, they own, you know, look, ownership is control. Mm-hmm. And these people have control that, in the sense that they can come onto your property whenever they feel like it, and you have no control to stop them.
Right. What happened when she showed up with the sheriff? Did he let him on the property?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the sheriff
was, backs her. That's why.
And
he's
the
there.
Sheriff basically stayed off the property.
Uh-huh.
While she just walked past him, and he was filming. And he was a bumbling idiot about the whole thing.
Well, he didn't realize he could have just tased the guy, and and just let her come on anyway.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean,
that's the
new fun thing is the taser.
Oh, I mean, let's face it, bro.
Well, you saw where they're having taser parties.
Yeah.
I mean, this girl, they're like Tupperware. That's the new Tupperware party.
Well, they tase each other.
No. What they do is You know what they do?
Oh, get in on
it. No, they lay them all out. This outfit.
Pinky.
I don't know. It's like a Tupperware. The lady invites all the people over.
Sell them.
And they sell them, and they have take turns tasing some dummy. That obviously looks like a predator.
Phasing.
Talks a little too much Star Trek.
I only had some phasers.
Phasers? You've got them. I have one bank recharge.
Tasers, okay. So anyway, what they do is apparently at the grand finale of these parties is they go outside and they like tase a tree or something.
Right, right.
They don't tase each other.
No, shoot, no. But, yeah, look, the bottom line is they can come on to your property.
Now, let me ask you this. So, of course, the thing obviously was poorly handled on both ends, what she probably should have done, because he was saying you should have a warrant. She already knew she was in trouble day before.
She didn't have to have a warrant.
I know she didn't have to. But he apparently had said, which reminds me, I didn't get my Christmas present that I wanted this year. I have to order it myself, that doormat.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
The deal is that he obviously had said the day before, you have to come back with a warrant or get off my property. So she came back with the sheriff. If she'd been smart, I suppose what she would have done was to go ahead and get a warrant.
Well,
Why? She didn't need to. She didn't have to. She doesn't care. She got to do whatever she wanted to, condemn the guy's property anyway.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So she had a 15-minute, you know, argument with him.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, big
and
deal.
8 minutes on video.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because it did point out, of course, to a lot of people, about half the people said, you know, this is unbelievable. What's the story in America? Can't do this, can't do that, and can't do the other. And that is from a philosophical standpoint, from a long-term philosophical standpoint. Yes, there are, what, three groups of people that can walk on your property, at least can walk on any time they want to.
Right.
There are some other restrictions. I mean, if your property is, like, totally fenced, there's some other restrictions, right?
What?
I mean, restrictions
in the sense of they can mow your fence down and come on anyway, or what?
No, but I mean, if you...
Because they can.
I know, but cut a hole
if they need to.
I know that, but I think that there are some additional... Somebody said that if it's fence, shielded, whatever, they can't see in without, you know, extraordinary...
Well, that's what you do, is you plant... If this guy had been smart, which he obviously wasn't, you plant a big hedge so nobody can see from the road.
Right.
And then you do whatever you're going to do.
And then you put a minefield behind the hedge.
Well, then all you got to worry about is the unmanned drones flying over.
That's right.
Right.
Well,
right.
You don't worry too much about them with your stingers.
I noticed this. I was driving to St. Pete this weekend.
Take care of the drones. That's fun.
I mean, can you imagine having, I mean, they'd be like radar controlled, laser guided, you know, on the drones. That'd be so much fun.
I want to mention this. I was driving to St. Pete this weekend, and I saw a sign which said, one of those police flashing signs, and it said, slow down, or FHP, which stands for Florida Highway Patrol, will help you. And I thought it was interesting. I mean, I know they didn't do it on purpose, but in my opinion, the new euphemism for arrest is help.
I love it. I'm just helping.
We just had to help, and she was just helping this guy. Yeah. She was just helping the community.
So
if they ask you, if they tell you that they want to help you,
yeah. Well, this is classic. I mean, it's been around for 100 years. I'm from the government. I'm here to help you. I mean, that's, you know, especially if a guy that's armed.
That was our first T-shirt.
That was it. That's Ronald Reagan, man.
That's right.
Wow, well, what a great show. 2008, by the way.
Wait.
Oh, what did I say?
Well, you didn't ask me if I was done.
I may not have one.
Well, and speaking of the thing, okay, I didn't know this, but I have heard from NORAD about this. Basically, it is true that they can literally turn on your cell phone microphone at any point in time.
That was a Fox News report. I saw the video on that, and I snopesed it.
Yeah, I did too.
I said, "This no way they can do this."
I didn't think so either.
I said, "No chance," and it's not on Snopes. So apparently, that is stunning to me.
Only if your phone is on, though.
No. They can.
You literally have to have the battery out of it.
That's
what I was thinking.
Yeah.
You can take that battery out though, and you might be okay. Although, you know, it would take such a small amount of power.
They're going to start having them...
The backup battery.
Exactly.
The backup battery
teeny,
for your...
A little teeny, teeny battery.
Well, that's the battery that keeps your... Let's say it keeps your...
So you can call 911.
They're coming to get you...
Look, here's the deal. Two things. Number one, who's going to take the battery out? If the thing is, you turn it off.
Even
you turn it off.
Right.
You turn it off, and... You think you're safe.
Right.
And you're not. I mean, that is unbelievable. I was stunned to find that out.
Yep.
Number two, you can imagine that the next law down the pike will be it's illegal to take your battery out.
Right.
Yeah, serious. Don't laugh.
No, what they're going to do is they'll make them seal.
It's like the battery in the smoke detector.
Right.
Illegal to tamper with.
Yeah, they never been in a rock band when your effects pedal dies. And you're in the hotel room, and you're going on stage in a few minutes.
That's right.
The only 9-volt
where a battery is.
That's it.
The only 9-volt battery is hanging from the ceiling.
That's it. Well, you know, you can bet that the Holiday Inn people, when they book a rock band, they've got special rooms where the batteries can be easily removed. Sir, would you like us to flip off the smoke detectors for you? Would you?
Anything else?
There was a couple of things. There was a little thing I saw, I couldn't believe it, where they went around, and I forget if it was Fox News or somebody else, I'm not sure. If you travel around in hotels, about the maids cleaning the glasses out
God.
It was so disgusting. Like, she cleaned the toilet, and then she goes out there and she throws all the glasses that you just got done drinking into a sink and sprays down some blue liquid and then, like, rinses them off, you know. you know, wipes it on her shirt and puts them back, you know, like for you to use
and
again.
They went to like several hotels.
This was like in Orlando.
Yeah. They went to like three or four or five, and every one of them,
you know,
they,
all different ways of cleaning the glass.
They put the little plastic thing back on, you know, the little piece of paper that says now sanitized for your protection.
Yeah.
And they never washed them.
Right.
And then they asked the hotel, they showed it to the hotel managers, and they said, well, we don't know. We don't. It costs too much money.
Sorry about that.
That was astounding. So, you know, you may want to just really wash those glasses when you get there. Some of the hotels, what they've done is they've gone to plastic.
They're sealed.
And there was, and again, if you're also traveling, there's a bunch of new FAA rules on batteries that you can bring with you
on your laptop. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
You are not allowed, what is it, some kind of lithium battery? No, it's, what is it, you're not allowed to bring anymore? They said on certain laptops or something?
Lithium is what it is, lithium.
Which is everything.
Yeah.
Every battery known that comes on an airplane.
Cell phone, laptop.
They're worried about the batteries exploding.
Oh, I know what it is. It's your spare battery.
Yeah.
It's your spare battery. If it's in your cell phone or in your computer, apparently that's okay. But if you take a spare, prepared to dump that $50 battery in the trash.
Yeah, with these new rules, you're allowed to carry on and check a maximum of 25 grams of lithium.
Oh, did you read? No, let me, wait. It gets even better. Mm-hmm. Did you read how they figure what the size and weight and 25 grams and everything is? I mean, like, anybody would know.
Safetravel.gov.
No, it is stunning. When you go through and find out how they've worded it, nobody. I mean, it is the most confused nerd, geek, weirdo person that came up with whatever it is that is this number.
Right.
Nobody could figure out if their battery is legal or not legal. I mean, nobody. At least with toothpaste, they can look on the tube, and even if it's squeezed dry, if it says 3.9 ounces on it, it goes in the trash.
Right.
I mean, and so
squeezed like a vacuum.
No, I mean, seriously, if you take an empty tube that says 6 ounces on it, you can't take that.
Right, but it is important to know that spare batteries cannot be stored in checked baggage.
Right.
So while you can still take a second or maybe a third laptop or cell phone battery with you, you have to keep it in your carry-on or risk it not being there when you get to your destination. So I know certain people like Will and other people travel around a lot, and you know, having those batteries, I can tell you from personal experience, when you're out doing a seminar and your transformer blows up, or say you just for some reason you can't get power to your room, you got to start. And you rely on carrying extra batteries as a presenter and just to get through your presentation. And, you know, so anyway, just one of those things.
Started a new business called Rent-A-Bat.
Rent-A-Bat, really.
In every city.
Yep. So those were the two little things that I had, other than Brittany's sister's pregnant.
Well, we were
16-year-old.
Yeah. Well, you saw where she lost. She also lost custody of her kids yesterday.
Yeah,
that's Brittany, not Brittany's sister's pregnant. Brittany did lose custody of her kids.
You saw her. She was all doped up on the gurney.
Who, Brittany?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and so what else is new? She had been doped up before anyway. Didn't even need a gurney for that.
Yeah.
Okay. I got more stuff, but we'll have to save for the next show.
All right.
Hey, well, I wanted to say, dude, 2008.
Yeah.
Going on our 10th year, Jimmy.
In dog years or what?
As the Jimmy Doan Show.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It was the fall of 98. It was actually the summer of 98.
Was it summer of 98?
Summer of 98. Up through about...
Coming up on 10 years of the Jimmy Doan Show.
Actually, we're past 10 years. We're on our 11th year. This is 2008. Oh, yeah, right. Well, other than the math that I can't add or subtract, we're doing fine.
Well, did you see where the monkeys were doing better than the college students at math?
Yeah, in California, memory games.
Yeah. So somebody said, well, they should have put them up against Boxer and Feinstein. And then you were like, well, they are the monkeys.
That's right. I'm sorry. What's your point? Yeah.
Snopes confirms that FBI wiretap thing.
Yeah.
Looks like they got permission to do it for some organized crime family to begin it.
Well, you know, the positive side of that is that if we really needed to, I guess, we could always call them up as a backup for the Jimmy Doan Show in case the laptop died here. They got it all recorded on each of our cell phones. Everybody's independently tracked.
That's right. We just have to call you get the freedom file of Freedom of Information Release Act to see if we get our show back.
The Jimmy Doan Show. Hey, stay tuned for the Jack Roach Show. Immediately following Jimmy. Hey, we'll see you next time. JimmyDoan.com.
Well, if you listen this long, you must be a diehard Jimmy Doan fan, so I'll let you know in a little secret. I had one extra Jimmy Doan t-shirt, and I threw it up on eBay. So if you search for Jimmy Doan on eBay, should come up. Anyway, it's a nice shirt. Thank you very much for listening to Jimmy Doan's show, and have a great 2008. Thank you.